Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q4 trading update call. With me this morning is Paul Edgecliffe-Johnson, our CFO. Hopefully, you'll have had a chance to review our trading statement this morning. As we move towards our U.S. listing, we will, of course, be starting these calls with standard disclaimers. While we're not U.S. listed just yet, we do have a couple of upfront comments to make today. Ahead of our expected U.S. listing on the New York Stock Exchange on the 29th of January, we are still in an open application process with the SEC. This precludes us from being able to directly reference EBITDA either in the statement or on the call today. Today's release is a brief trading update under IFRS. Our full year 2023 results will be reported on the 26th of March under US GAAP and in US dollars. We will also provide 2024 guidance at this time. A reconciliation of our historic results between IFRS and US GAAP will be made available before our full year results to help you understand the basis of our reporting going forward. Now moving on to Q4. We were very pleased with the underlying performance in the group as the Flutter strategy delivered strong AMP growth of 12% and revenue growth of 15%. In the US, FanDuel retained its clear number one sportsbook position with a 43% GGR share and a 51% NGR share. FanDuel Casino continued to go from strength to strength as we delivered on the strategy to improve our gaming proposition. It took share in Q4, accounting for 26% of the market. The underlying momentum in the US business remains very strong. AMPs were up 33%, with sportsbook staking up 53% and iGaming up 49%. Revenue growth of 26% reflected the well-publicized impact of very customer-friendly sports results, amounting to $343 million, largely on NFL games in November, compared with bookmaker-friendly results in Q4 2022. The nature of our business means that there are periods where the outcomes swing in our customers' favor, as we saw in the US in November. This can cause variability when looking at shorter time periods. But reassuringly, if we look across all of 2023, our actual margin was just 50 basis points below expectations, and in 2022, it was 10 basis points ahead. Taking into account the impact of sports results, we anticipate the US revenue will be $225 million or 147 million sterling, lower than previous guidance, and that this variance will drop through to adjusted EBITDA at approximately 35%. Outside of the US, Q4 trading was in line with our expectations, leading to an anticipated full-year performance in line with guidance provided at Q3. This ex-US performance was driven by very strong momentum in the UK and Ireland, supported by recent product enhancements, as well as international growth driven by a good performance in our consolidate and invest markets. We completed our acquisition of MaxBet at the start of January, adding another local hero to the Flutter portfolio. Overall, we look forward to 2024, and the strong momentum we are taking into the start of the year gives us confidence in our outlook for the year ahead. We are very excited to add our US listing on the 29th, subject to SEC clearance. The additional listing will enable us to access deeper capital markets, as well as making Flutter more accessible to US investors, and marks a new chapter in the history of the Flutter Group. With that, I'll turn it over to Jess for Q&A. This is a brief trading update, and therefore we only have 30 minutes for questions on the trading update itself. We're unlikely to get to everyone as a result, and the IR team will be on hand to help with any follow-ups.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and please ensure your line is unmuted locally, as you'll be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Ed Young from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions on the US, please. The first one is, your expected margins were up 200 basis points quarter on quarter to 13.5%. Could you talk through the drivers of that change? It's well above your 12% 2025 gross win margin target. Should we think about that kind of 13.5% level being achievable in Q1 or in 2024 generally? And if not, why not? And then the second question is, your 35% drop-through you referenced is quite a low number for hold-related revenue shortfall. Can you just sort of remind us and talk through what kind of flexibility you have in the business around investments, what kind of mitigations you made in response to the November results? So if there is anything you've done in, that in any way sort of impacts the revenue or profit potential of the US business heading into 2024. Thanks.
Thanks, Ed. And yes, look, we were very pleased with the results overall, and you're really pleased to see the expected margin up by the 220 basis points. And we've been growing over the years, our expected margin, and that's the capabilities that we have in risk and trading, the very strong market share that we have in the parlay product, which we're the most famous for, and that does have a high margin for us. Q4 and Q1 are the biggest sports quarters, as you know, and they're biggest in the sports that we are biggest in, so they are our best quarters from a margin perspective. It won't be a performance that we can replicate every quarter, certainly not at the moment, and we'll have to see what happens in the first quarter. We can't talk about 2024 right now, as Peter referenced, but very pleased with that. And doesn't mean that over time we can't get there. We talked at the Capital Markets Day as to what our margin targets were, and we are beyond that now. And it's something that we will continue to push. As I say, very pleased with that 13.5. In terms of the drop through, look, we always have a few levers to pull, and we can think about how much we want to invest back into the business. Obviously, customers did very well in November, as Peter referenced. And that's sort of an element of generosity, so they have money in their pockets. Perhaps had we not seen that, might we have spent a little bit more? Perhaps, we always have to take a view on that, as you would expect. But we're really pleased with the results overall.
I mean, I think the other point around investment that we're making in the business is making sure that we have the right size of infrastructure for the business that we're going to become. You can see the level of growth we're exhibiting in the state. We don't see that slowing down anytime soon, and we think it's important to continue to invest in, the infrastructure that supports, the scale business that we are and indeed are becoming.
Thanks, Ed.
The next question comes from the line of Clark Lampen from BTIG. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I've got two on the U.S. also. Peter, I guess as we think about a sort of fairly strong underlying exit rate of growth for the U.S. business in 2023. And if we were to juxtapose that, I guess, against the sort of medium-term U.S. outlook that you guys have provided previously, I'm curious whether it's fair for us to conclude that maybe underlying performance in the back half of the year has been stronger than you were expecting, or are there headwinds to growth that you might sort of remind us of here? And then, Paul, second question, sort of as we think about that same sort of reference point with the medium-term U.S. outlook, could you remind us what's baked in, I guess at least directionally, for the major KPIs like gross win margin, market share, and the promo rates? Thanks.
Morning, Clark. And I have to say it's always admirable when you get up in the middle of the night to join these calls, so thank you. Well, look, I think we're very pleased with the performance that we saw in Q4. It's worth remembering that our business from a sports perspective, it has a degree of seasonality. Q4 and Q1 are always going to be the busiest periods for us. And actually, even within Q4, there's that period where there's a sort of strong push at the beginning of the football season to make sure we sort of reactivate and re-engage customers. I think from my perspective, what I look at is the level of AMP engagement that we had, through the back end of the year, 4 million customers on the platform. Also seeing, very strong momentum in casino as well as we execute on our strategy, to move ahead of the pack from a product perspective and hope to see further gains in that area as well. So I think, that the business is trading well. Q4 was a good reminder for us that margins can be both, or sports results can be both positive and negative. And it was also a quarter where there was lots of competitive intensity as well. But I think we showed the strength of our brand, our product, and the customer engagement that we had to finish the year very well. And it all goes well, I hope, for the future.
And look, in terms of the future, Clark, and the framework that we've set out before and how the numbers translate through, it is all translating through very, very much in line with the framework. We're not talking about the 2024 guidance today. That'll come in March, so we'll put out our full year numbers in full on the 26th, and we are restricted, as Peter said, as to what we can say today. But yeah, we're very confident in the framework. We've seen really good exit momentum, and we're very confident in the business. Thank you, Clark.
The next question comes from the line of Paul Ruddy from Davy. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Peter and Paul. Just two quick ones. Firstly, is just on the November win margin. Do you think get any sense that there's kind of any inherent higher level of volatility in the win margin owing to the fact that you have a structurally higher margin, i.e. kind of more parlay or lottery type products, or was November just that kind of a one-off type event? And the second one then, just really quickly, is just on iCasino share. It looks particularly strong. Is that boosted in Q4 by your cross-sell from sports, being given it's the strongest quarter from a sports perspective, or is it more to do with product enhancements? Any kind of color around that would be helpful. Thank you.
Hi Paul. Why don't I talk to you on the casino piece, and Paul can come back to you on the sort of the volatility around the November margins. Look, I think if you look at the gains we've captured, clearly a lot of points of share growth year on year. We believe a lot of that has actually come from the customers who are solus gaming customers rather than cross sell. We've always been very strong in the cross sell sphere, because that's obviously where the sports business has given us a leg up. But the product enhancements that we've made, the changes we've made to the product, the branding, the positioning, the daily free-to-play mechanics, the titles we have available on the platform, contribute to really enhancing the quality of the product for those solus iGaming customers. And that's where we've seen the growth come through. And I think we've been taking share from some of the pure play, effectively, casino businesses in that area.
And look, in terms of the win margin and the variability that we could see there, the way I look at it is that we are taking a very high market share of the product that our customers like most, and where the biggest growth is, and where actually the highest margin is for us, and so that's incredibly good news for us. It does mean that when you see some unusual results, that'll have an unusual outcome for us, but across the year, taking significant market share is going to be very valuable for us. If you look at the biggest game for us back in at the end of November, with Cowboys and the Seahawks, that there were some unusual outcomes there. But that was great for customers who'd bet on that and really drives their interest. And so it augurs very well for the future.
Really helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ryan Sigdahl from Craig-Hallum Capital Group. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul, Peter. Good day, gentlemen. Curious on Brazil, what the strategy is going forward there with new legislation. Is it, go with established brands like Brett Fair where you already have a toehold, or is it the local hero strategy that you've done in many other markets? And then secondly, just want to stay on the iGaming, a lot of momentum there, and I think it's often an underappreciated business for how strong and impressive of results you have relative to just how good you are at sports. But any additional product innovation in the pipeline or pockets of targeted iCasino first players that you think you can drive further share gains there? Thanks.
Well, morning, Ryan. Let me very briefly just deal with those two. I mean, I think from a Brazilian perspective, we've been very pleased with the performance of the Betfair and PokerStars brands in the local market, and look, it's been some time coming, but we hope at some point the regulation will be signed in Brazil. If you look at our approach to markets around the world, we have always been focused on organic growth, and that's something we've been doing in Brazil. But we've also used M&A as well as a means of cementing positions on the podium and trying to achieve that gold medal position. So, I think you shouldn't be surprised if it's continue to push from an organic basis and also contemplate whether there are other ways of increasing our scale in the market. And from an iGaming perspective, look, we're following the strategy that we laid out at the Capital Markets Day. you know, we said in the first year there were things that were broken that we're going to fix. We said in the second year we get to product parity, and then the third year we get ahead of the market. We're in the third year. We're going to get ahead of the market, and I'm not going to tell our competitors what we're about to launch, I'm afraid.
Thanks, Ryan.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Pulitzer from Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Good morning, Paul. Thank you for taking my questions. First one, quickly, what were you baking in, I guess, originally as you gave your guidance a few months ago in terms of the improvement in structural holds, sports outcomes, and promotions? And you just say that because I believe that in the third quarter, your structural hold was up 80 basis points year over year, so this was a big acceleration. And then your promos came down, I think, a little bit. So I'm just trying to bridge what were those expectations a few months ago versus where you came in this morning.
Was there any follow-up, Daniel? Was that the only question you got? Sorry.
Yeah, and then in terms of just the follow-up, I mean, maybe you can talk a little bit about the promotional environment over the course of the quarter. You know, obviously ESPN Bet came to this market, and then maybe your expectations for 2024 with BetMGM viewing 2024 as a reinvestment year. And that's it for me. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel. So, look, the expected GGR that we saw was stronger than we had anticipated. And we were really pleased with that. But as we've talked about before on the call, seeing the very high parlay penetration coming through is very encouraging. And what's also really encouraging is the promotional environment. And we did spend little more than we spent last year across the course of the year, but this wasn't a step up in the fourth quarter. And this is our plan because we see that we can acquire very attractive customers. As you know, we have great data on our customer cohorts and the returns we make from them. So continuing to invest into that allows us to continue to grow the business. You know, if you look at how we're growing the AMP, how we're growing the margin, it's all stepping in the right direction sequentially. So no meaningful increase in promotional spend, and a little ahead on the GGR percentage, but you know, versus our expectations, but nothing nothing massive.
The only thing I just need to make sure we sort of come back on all of your question, you know, Daniel, is you know, the question around you know what we had in our guidance at the Q3s. You know, clearly you can see the strength that we're seeing in our sort of, you know in our gross win expected margin, and you can see that the you know the gap of the 343 and how that compares with the sort of 225 miss, you can see that the variance is largely higher in expected margins.
Thanks, Daniel.
The next question comes from the line of David Brohan from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just two questions for me. Firstly, could you touch on how customer luck played out year on year across the ex-US business? And then just as a follow-on from that, you know, I think an excellent performance in the UK. Any color on how you know staking and win margin contributed to the strong sports performance in Q4? Thank you.
I'm happy to give you some views on the UK just while Paul's pulling together some thoughts on luck in the ex-US business. If you look at what happened in the UK in Q4, we're continuing to perform very very strongly. If you look at our actual gross win margins, they were ahead of last year because of a swing in luck. We had very adverse sports results, if you remember, in Q4 2022. And whilst they were not great in Q4 last year, on a relative basis, they were much better. And so that contributed significantly. So we saw a step up in the gross win margins year on year. We've also been making some changes to our approaches around generosity, which you know I know you'll all be familiar with as well. And so I think you know we've we've seen a big improvement to our net win margin in the online environment in the UK. And, you know, from an AMP perspective, we're down a little bit, but that's because we saw strong AMP performance in Q4 2022 because of the World Cup. And there's similar issues from a staking perspective, but I'm very pleased with the way UK business is performing, taking significant market share and, you know, well ahead of what we expect any of the other major operators to be doing.
So just coming back on that, David, so I think we talked about in the third quarter what we'd seen around luck and across the business as a whole after the third quarter results, pretty much in line with expectations. So it does vary a bit. And look, as Peter said, you know, the UK and I has been very strong across a number of dimensions, gaming and sports. And you know, we've got a very good business there with excellent brands and strong customer preference. And you know, we took steps early to position ourselves for the market as we expected it to be. And you know, it has been as we expected. And we've, you know, really pushed forward and very pleased with the progress that we're making. Thanks, David.
The next question comes from the line of James Rowland Clark from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I've got questions on the UK and on Australia, please. You just obviously outlined that there's a helpful tailwind on the win margin in Q4 for sports revenue. So presumably when you X that out, gaming massively outperformed sports. And it seems that's been the case for a while now. I wondered if you could provide any colour as to why that is and whether that difference in performance is sustainable from here. On Australia, so constant FX growth was down 2% in Q4 and it was down 7% in Q3. So I wondered if you could just provide any colour or further detail on whether the Australian division has stabilised in terms of revenue per user trends. Thank you.
Morning, James. I'm happy to give you some thoughts on the UK, and then Paul will talk about Australia, just as a continuation, as you said, from the tailwind in margins that we saw in Q4. And look, that is undoubtedly the case and has helped support performance in sports, but I think we shouldn't underestimate the benefits of some of the product enhancements we've made as well. The ACCA freeze on Skybet and some of the changes made around the Bet Builder have been very popular. Remember, we have a really recreationally focused business. I think that, that has been important together with the changes we've made from our approach around generosity. From a gaming standpoint, we've continued to drive strong cross-sell conversion from, Skybet and Paddy Power to our casino products. And, this is an area where our strength in sports is definitely helping us. We've also made some significant enhancements to the quality of the product that we have available for customers on, particularly around the live casino on Skybet and some of the slots changes we made for Paddy Power. So, look, I think if you look at it, we have delivered a very strong performance in gaming, and I'm very pleased with what the team have done there.
And in Australia, I think the first point I'd make is just going back to the strength of the business that we have there. And Sportsbet is the number one operator there. It has grown very significantly since pre-COVID. And yes, it is giving back some of those gains. And we talked about that at the third quarter, just flagging that, as we looked at our forward-looking indicators, we thought there was going to be a bit softer. And it's pretty much manifested as we expected. Revenue off a little bit, that's particularly in racing, where we are seeing staking declines. Fourth quarter of last year, obviously we had the World Cup, and as you lap that, that's driving some of the AMP declines that you're seeing there. But it's a really good business, we're very confident in it, and we're pleased to be the number one there. Sports results were slightly favourable, not meaningful. Not a meaningful number, overall the results were pretty much in line with our expectations. So no significant change from what we talked about at the third quarter. Thanks, James.
The next question comes from the line of Monique Pollard from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning everyone. Just a couple of questions from me if I can. The first was just on if you can give any sense of the level of you know, competitive intensity or the promotion environment you're seeing in the US. I'm sort of conscious that you're gaining, you know, material share, let's call it that, in iGaming with plans to gain further, Peter's comments. And, you know, free bets as a proportion of handle are sitting at about 4.2%, which I understand includes the profit boost. So just trying to understand sort of what the competitive landscape is looking like and the promotional intensity in the US. And then the second question, just on win margins ex the US. So you've given some color. It's really helpful on UK and I and Australia. Any color you can give on international win margins would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, Monique, look, from a competitive intensity perspective, you know, every year is competitive right now, and every launch of, you know, the football season, you know, feels like, you know, we've got a new competitor out there, whether it was, you know, Fanatics, you know, ESPN, we've had Caesars, you know, BetMGM, you know, over the years we've had a lot of competitive intensity. I think this year was very intense, but I think that, look, the quality of our product stands us in very good stead. And when I look at the returns that we were seeing in Q4 from the customer acquisitions, we were very pleased. You know, we're right down at the bottom end of our sort of, you know, payback periods. So yeah, I think that the business is in a good place. We've got a great product and, you know, great momentum to exit the year in the States.
And in terms of, you know, win margins, obviously in the international business, there's a lot of different components to that. So it's not quite as straightforward because you get some mix impact. But we did see a step up in the win margin across the business as a whole, and it's, you know, very significant. Is a very strong business and is performing very well, and adding that into the mix has helped.
Yeah, I mean, CSAR had their worst run of results in October for, you know, 14 years or something, and, you know, that obviously, you know, caused a bit of pressure on the business at the beginning of the quarter, but I think that's been well understood by people.
Understood. Thank you.
Thanks, Monique.
The next question comes from the line of Joe Thomas from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter and Paul. Okay, so my two. Firstly, circling back to the UK, I may have missed the comments. You were asked about staking, and I just wondered how that had moved. It sounds as though the bulk of that outperformance has come from an improvement in the net revenue margin as you've cut generosity. So I'm just wondering what's going on in the staking number there, if you can be if you could repeat that if I missed it, please. And then secondly, looking at the business ex-US, an overall question. Obviously, you're flagging a profit outlook as expected. When I look at where consensus was going into Q4, it looks as though you've comfortably beaten revenue consensus. Is there anything that we should be aware of in terms of costs or anything or any other moving parts that are going on in that ex-US business overall to square that mismatch off? Thanks.
Joe, you're not allowed to ask us questions about EBITDA, but I'll decide. Paul will decide if he wants to ask you, if he wants to sort of answer any of those tricky questions.
So, I mean, in the UK, staking slightly off, but that is against a World Cup comparator. So I think that's the reason for it. So, you know, a couple of percentage points lower than in the same quarter of last year, but that's really very much as we would have expected. And then, yes, we talk about our results versus guidance for the ex-US business, and we do have to be careful, as Peter said, against talking about EBITDA, but basically it's in line with expectations. So there'll be a few small sort of puts and takes there, but overall it nets out to basically the number that we were talking about previously.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
The next question comes from the line of Joe Stoff from Susquehanna. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I wanted to ask, you know, in terms of the quarter and or the half, just in the U.S., the parlay mix, you know, in terms of the between pregame or in parlay, and then in terms of, say, your structural hold, you've obviously achieved that, you know, a year or two earlier than expected in the U.S. And wondering, you know, is it still fair to assume that, you know, that's going to increase, say this year going forward by 50 basis points or so. What can you share with us on that?
Well, Jay, you've got up very early and you're asking us very difficult questions. But you know, good morning. We haven't shared our parlay penetration in the past, but look, it is up year on year. Up around 480 basis points. And it's worth remembering. You know, Q4, as I said in Q3. Q4 is to some extent the high water mark for us just in terms of penetration because of the extent to which we see the NFL and the NBA so strong in the quarter, because they're the sports which really matter for us from a parlay perspective. Paul, I don't know whether you want to sort of comment on structural margins. I know we said we'll give guidance for 24 at a later date.
Yeah, so we'll talk about our expectations for 2024 on the 26th of March. I think as you look at the fourth quarter and the expected GDR or the structural hold there, it is very strong. I think as we've talked about before on the call, first quarter and the fourth quarter are our strongest quarters for sports and the sports that matter, and where we've got most parlays, so you would expect that they would be higher. But we are very encouraged by the direction of travel over the last few years in our structural margins. It's a demonstration of what we can do from risk and trading and bringing out products that customers want and that drive high margins. So look, overall, it's very good news for us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, I think we are out of questions at this stage. So I'd just like to say a particular thanks to all of our all the people who joined the call from the States. I know you've had to get up very early indeed, so we appreciate it very much and look forward to catching up with many of you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye for now.